Earth, sky.
The new findings really prompt us to ask questions we never knew to ask. We didn't even realize until we started looking at the fossil that living penguins were so weird, that they had these aberrant structures that weren't seen in any other birds alive today. And I think that shows us something remarkable about looking to the past and paleontology.
You're listening to University of Texas paleontologist Julia Clark talking about penguins, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Clark's research team discovered the first fossilized penguin with evidence of feathers. This ancestor of the modern penguin, called Inca Yaku, lived 36 million years ago in Peru and wasn't black and white. Julia Clark spoke with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson about the find.
And so your research team recently found a 35-million-year-old penguin in Peru. Can you tell me about it, and why was this discovery so exciting?
What we found was the first fossil penguin with feathers. And this new find that showed us our first look at penguin feathering was, in fact, also a giant penguin. We're talking about twice the size of the largest living penguin, which is the emperor penguin.
And so how is this species of penguin different from modern-day penguins? If you can give us kind of an overview of what the fossil is like and the traditional things that we think of being penguin-like, how is it different?
It's kind of striking because it plays with your notion of what a penguin is. It would have been dominantly gray and a reddish-brown color, very unlike our tuxedoed living penguins. It would have been, obviously, much larger than the penguins we have today. And the beaks on these giant penguins are enormous. So there's a striking profile with a powerful, long beak on these giant penguins.
Why do you think that this penguin looked the way that it did?
So basically, a new methodology that really has only been around for the last year relies on the preserved shape and dimensions of these structures in feathers called melanosomes. And the kind of new discovery is from the past couple years is that these structures fossilize. So what we see is actually, in some cases in the fossil feathers, three-dimensional impressions of these melanosomes, and in other cases there are void spaces where the melanosomes used to be. And we can measure those, and based on the proportions, the dimensions of these structures and other characteristics, we use that to estimate color through a comparison with a big library of fossil bird colors and melanosome structures.
From that, you can basically do a comparison in color in the feathers.
So colleagues at Yale made this initial discovery of the preserved structure of melanosomes in fossils. Other colleagues from the University of Akron are building this library basically that allows us to take measurements of all the melanosomes preserved in the fossil feathers and relate them to color by using this library of living birds. And what we found was when we started looking at the fossil, it was prompted us to add all of these penguins to the database, basically look at their color, black, brown, you know, in that case, and then look at the melanosome shape, size, and proportions. And what we found was that living penguins actually make that brown back color in a way that's not known in any other birds. So we don't know of any other birds or non-avian dinosaurs, in the case that we've looked, that produce color in that way. They have these relatively giant melanosomes that are very broad. And so that was kind of discovery number one. It wasn't even about the fossil. It was about, living penguins. Then we looked at the fossil and we found that its melanosome size and dimensions were actually like other birds other than penguins that are alive today. But what it fit with was not the black-brown colors, not the deep blacks that we have, but it fit instead with red-brown or gray colors.
And why did those colors change over time?
So what the new fossil shows is that penguin colors have changed radically over the last 50 million years. We have Inkayaku with this one color repertoire, and then later on, the evolution of what we think of as kind of the defining penguin coloration of the black and white counter shading.
Right, the tuxedo penguin.
Mm-hmm.
And can you actually describe what this fossil looks like? I remember you said that at first you didn't realize that it was, that it had feathers on it. What does it actually look like?
So the specimen might be approximately the size of a kitchen table, mid-sized kitchen table. And that's what the specimen looks like now after we took it out of the ground. Initially, all that was exposed were some toe bones, and my student noted a scale pattern on the foot. So we actually didn't realize we had feathers until we took this kitchen table-sized block back to the lab, opened it up, and were meticulously removing little flakes of stone, hoping to find more evidence of soft tissues. We knew there were scales, but what else was there? So flaking away, we uncovered a tiny tip, you know, of a wing feather. And at that point, we knew that we had something really interesting there.
Why was it unusual to find this penguin in Peru?
So a find like this, the first fossil penguin with feathers, would be unusual anywhere. But in Peru, it's kind of striking to paleontologists who work on penguins, because up until a couple of years ago, we wouldn't have predicted that penguins reached these low latitude areas somewhere, you know, peri-equatorial around, you know, 14 to 18 degrees south latitude so early in their history. There had been earlier discussion of the distribution of early penguins, and it was mostly thought they were in high latitude regions for a good portion of their early evolution and only reached areas like the Galapagos or northern parts of South America very recently.
If you could sum up, what are the most important clues that this fossil gives you about the evolutionary history of penguins?
I mean, I think on some fundamental level, it's just that there's this first insight into the evolution of penguin feathering, penguin feather color, and penguin feather shape. And it really brings to life, if you will, part of the early interval in penguin evolution. The new findings really prompt us to ask questions we never knew to ask.
You've been listening to Julia Clark, Associate Professor of Geology at the University of Texas at Austin. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.